Our epistle reading this morning is found in Philippians, the third chapter, verses 1 through 11, as we continue our journey through Philippians. And Paul writes this: "Finally, my sisters and brothers, rejoice in the Lord. It is no trouble for me to write the same things to you again, and it is a safeguard for you. Watch out for those dogs, those men who do evil, those mutilators of the flesh. For it is we who are the circumcision, we who worship by the Spirit of God, who glory in Christ Jesus, and who put no confidence in the flesh. Though I myself have reasons for such confidence, if anyone else thinks he has reasons to put confidence in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day, of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, in regard to the law, a Pharisee. As for zeal, persecuting the church, as for legalistic righteousness, faultless. But whatever was to my profit, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them but rubbish, that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ Jesus, the righteousness that comes from God and is by faith. I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of sharing in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow to attain to the resurrection of the dead." May the Lord bless his word to our hearts and minds today. We want to continue our series in Philippians entitled A Work in Progress, as God shapes and molds us in all of life. And this morning I want to think about growing in Christ, but first I want to get started with something a little humorous. I heard a story about this elderly woman who was upstairs one evening in her bedroom, and she heard the noise of a robber downstairs robbing the house. And she remembered her pastor's words from the sermon that said there's a scripture for every occasion. So as she was dialing 911, she yelled out at the top of her voice, Acts 2:38. Well, the robber froze in his tracks until the police arrived, and as the police were questioning this man, they asked him what it was about that particular scripture verse that caused him to freeze in his tracks. He said, "Scripture verse? I heard her yell that she had an axe and 2.38s. Well, you know, we all face some challenges and adversity in life, and the question is, how do we respond to that? And this morning, I think Paul challenges us that we can face challenges and adversity and grow in faith and grow in Christ. And so I want to think about that this morning. And I think there's at least three things that we can think about during a time of crisis or faith and in challenge and adversity. And the first thing is that to rely or to trust on what got you here. Sometimes when we're facing adversity and challenge, we think, well, maybe we need to shift our game plan. Maybe we're not doing something that's right. And what's tried and true in the church and through all of our life and faith in Christ, all of a sudden, maybe we think we need something brand new and something different and newfangled. But Paul challenges us that we need to really trust what's tried and true and trust our faith in Christ. This was happening at the church in Philippi as they're undergoing some persecution. There were people that rose up there and said, no, you really need to go back and to try to do things better and count on yourselves and not count on God. And so Paul's response is this. He says, if anyone else thinks he has reasons to put confidence in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day, people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin. Now, the tribe of Benjamin was sort of the best of the best. So to be an Israelite was great. To be of the tribe of Benjamin was even better. So Paul says, I'm a Hebrew of the Hebrew. I'm a tribe of Benjamin. In regard to law, a Pharisee. The Pharisees were people who tried to keep every part of the law, and then some. And he says, as for zeal, persecuting the church. So Paul thought that his faith required him early in life to persecute the church, and he was willing to go that far before he found Christ, and Christ appeared to him. And he says, as for legalistic righteousness, faultless. But Paul says, listen, if you think you can trust all these things, listen, you need to take a check on your logic and look at me, because I have all these things. But this, he goes on to say this. He says, but whatever to my profit, I now count as loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For whose sake I have lost all things, I consider them but rubbish, that I might have Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God and is by faith. Paul is really pointing to those key scripture that says, it's all about faith in Christ. You know, we can't earn our way to heaven. God has paid the price, and all we have to do is accept that. And so we don't try to do something to, in terms of earning our salvation. We simply try to accept God's love and God's forgiveness and know that Christ has paid the price. The Reformers call that sola fide and sola gratia, if you want the fancy names for it, but it simply means and by faith alone and God's grace. And Paul's saying this is the way to Christ. This is the way to God. And know that that's the most important thing in all of life, and that's not going to change when we face trial and adversity. Some time ago, in Pennsylvania, I grew up in Pennsylvania, and in small town football is a big thing there, and so there was a very small town that had a struggling football team, and a new coach arrived in town, and the coach got the players together and said, listen, we're not going to try to do anything fancy. He said, a lot of you are young players, and so what we're going to do is we're really going to focus on the basics. We're going to focus on basic blocking and tackling. We're going to face it on basic running off, you know, block and off tackle, and we're going to try to do it to the very best that we can. And with that in mind, they began to get better and better during the season. They started to win more and more games until finally came the time for the regional championship, and they were able to make the regional championship game. And in that game, they faced a much bigger football team from a much bigger town. They really outsized them, but they battled as hard as they could, and so they did the same plays over and over. They went up and down the field. It was a hard-fought battle, and right near the end of the fourth quarter, they were both tied. Well, the small-town team got the football in the far end, and they had to march all the way down. There was just a few seconds left, and the quarterback called a timeout. He went over to coach and said, listen, coach, you know, this is the last play of the game. Time's going to run out, and you know, it's fourth down. He said, you know, we've been running the same plays all season and the whole game. Maybe we should change it up and try something to surprise him. And the coach looked at the quarterback and said, listen, trust what got you here. Just do it the best you can. And so with that, he called a play off tackle, and the quarterback went back in and told the team that. And sure enough, they executed, played as hard as they could, and they were able to push the ball into the end zone. And I think that's a truth for us too, you know, to be able to trust what got us here. When we're facing adversity and challenge and difficulty, whether that's an illness or whether it's financial difficulties or maybe broken relationship, a loss of a loved one, we can really trust what's got us here. And that's what Paul's saying. Paul's saying, listen, trust faith in Christ. That's the most important thing. Christ has provided the way. The second thing, I think, is to see challenge and adversity as an opportunity to grow. You know, sometimes when we face challenges and adversity in life, whatever the range of those things are, we really just want to get it over with. We want to be done with that and be on to the happier chapters in life. I think Paul is saying that through challenge and adversity, we can deepen our faith and make it as an opportunity to grow. And he says some interesting things here. He says, first of all, that what his heart's desire is this. He says, I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of sharing his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow to attain to the resurrection from the dead. In other words, he says, first of all, I want to know Christ, and that's the most important thing. No matter whether I'm in prison, which Paul was right then, and Paul had been through shipwrecked and been through adversity, had been beaten a number of times and left for dead, Paul says the most important thing is to know Christ and to know him deeply. And that really should be our deepest desire too. And he also says, I want to know the power of the resurrection. And you think for a moment about the resurrection of Christ and how God took the most tragic thing we could think of and turn it into the greatest triumph. I think Paul's saying, listen, if God could make the cross from the greatest tragedy into the greatest triumph, then God can meet us in our hour of need and do something special and transform it into something that we never realized could happen. And finally, Paul says this, and it's quite interesting. He says, I want to know Christ and the fellowship of his suffering. Now, we pray a lot of prayers, and I pray a lot of prayers, and it's not often I pray something like to know Christ in the fellowship of his suffering, because most of us, frankly, don't want to suffer. But Paul's saying, you know, that sometimes that's part of what it means to be human. That's part of what life means. And I think maybe some of the things that happened to bring growth is that the first thing is we get a small glimpse of what Christ went through. We think of Christ giving his life for us, and that Jesus had everything that we could ever imagine laid upon him. Every physical, emotional, mental, psychological struggle was placed upon him in the cross. And when we go through something, we have a small sort of glimpse of all that Christ went through, and we can appreciate that more. I think there's something else, too, that it's an opportunity for us to grow. I think just like a sculptor that takes a hammer and chisel and sort of knocks up all the pieces and then brushes it, you think about being that sculptor for a moment, and it's not easy to have those pieces chipped off. Yet somehow in all that adversity and challenge, God is molding us into the image of Christ. God is making the image of love and compassion greater in us. And I think the final thing is that when we go through something, we have a moment of compassion for people who are going through the very same thing. We realize the struggles that people face day to day, and sometimes we've taken those things for granted. And sometimes when we've lost a loved one or we go through something, don't we look for the person who's really been through that same chapter of life, and they can provide a special encouragement, even if they don't have the word, just their presence being there because they've gone through that provides a sort of a peace in the middle of the storm. And so Paul's saying that's the most important thing for him. There's a story, a book actually, that was written some time ago, and many of you may have read it. It's really a great book. It's called Hinds Feet in High Places. I don't know if any of you have read that. Written quite some time ago by Hannah Hunard. She lost her father, and she traveled back to Switzerland where he was, and while she was traveling back to Switzerland, she was moved by those incredible mountain peaks that are part of the landscape of Switzerland. And when she saw that, she was reminded of that scripture in Habakkuk that says this. It said, "The Lord maketh my feet like hinds' feet and setteth me upon high places." Now, a hind is a particular kind of deer with very fleet feet that's able to climb the mountaintops. And so she was thinking of this graceful deer that's able to climb the top of the mountain and to be able to dwell there. And she thought of that as an image of our faith life. And so she wrote this great story called Hinds Feet in High Places. And it's also the scripture verse that says, the deer panted after the water. It's actually a hind. It's this kind of a mountain deer. And in it, the main character is a young girl by the name of Much Afraid. Now, Much Afraid is deformed. She's handicapped severely, and she's not very beautiful. And she desires to be like this hind in the high places on the mountaintop that's graceful and beautiful, can overcome great adversity and difficult, and rise to the high occasion. And she meets the shepherd of love in this valley of humiliation. And the shepherd of love promises her that if she will trust him, that he will make a way for her to make to the top of the mountain. And so she agrees. And before the shepherd of love leaves her, and says he will meet her on the mountaintop, he appoints two companions to travel that high mountain pass with her. And the companions' names are Suffering and Sorrow. Suffering and Sorrow are the names of the companions. Now, if you and I were taking two companions for a hard trip, they'd probably be more like Funny and Happy, wouldn't they? I mean, it wouldn't be Suffering and Sorrow. But those are the two that the shepherd of love appoints to her. And so she goes through all these different kinds of trials as she climbs this mountain. And it's really an interesting story. But when she finally reaches the summit, all of a sudden she looks down and she sees that her feet are transformed to beautiful, graceful feet like this hind, this deer. And she's somehow become beautiful and all this angelic. And in that moment, the shepherd of love greets her. And when he welcomes her, he also reveals the true names of her companions. And no longer are they Suffering and Sorrow, now their faith and perseverance, as they were all along. And it's really an image of how we in life, as we face adversity and challenge, sometimes we come to suffering and sorrowing, and we wonder what these are for. But God is strengthening us through our difficulties, and it really is faith and perseverance. And so God is shaping and molding us so we can climb to the high places. Paul says this in Romans 8:28. And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who've been called according to his purpose. For those who God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the likeness of his son. God uses these challenges and adversity in our life as opportunities to growth, and we'll look to him that way and learn to depend on him. And the final thing is to look to Christ in the storm. And that's a beautiful story that Jay read about Jesus and the disciples in the storm. It's really a beautiful, beautiful story. Jesus is tired, he's exhausted from teaching, and he wants to take the boat across the Sea of Galilee. He knows he's with seasoned fishermen, and so they take this boat, and Jesus falls asleep in the stern of the boat. Meanwhile, a violent storm comes up out of nowhere. Now, this happens sometimes in the ancient Near East. They have what's called clear air turbulent storms. They can come up out of nowhere, and a storm can brew. The Sea of Galilee is a sea, but it's not a large sea, and so it can get big waves in a short amount of time. And they're not in a motorboat, and they're not in some advanced design. They're in a normal sailing boat, probably a fishing boat with a sail. And so at least four of those disciples were seasoned sailors. And it says they were frightened. So we can imagine in this boat, these seasoned sailors are frightened. And it says that even water started to swamp the boat. So in other words, the waves were so big that it was breaking over the bow of the boat. And the boat was taking on water. Now, you don't have to be a real avid sailor or boater to know that, you know, storms are one thing. But when the boat is taking on water, this is a serious situation, right? So the disciples go to Jesus and say, and wake him abruptly and say, Master, save us. And Jesus looks at them and in a moment says to the storm, peace be still. And all of a sudden, the winds and the waves die down. And I think when you look at that, you can really see a number of things, which is, first of all, the humanity of Jesus. I mean, Jesus was so exhausted after teaching and going without food that just as he was, he went in that boat, he fell asleep, was in the stern. But Jesus also had this peace in the middle of the storm. And I don't know if you've ever been in a hurricane, hopefully not, but I was in a hurricane once in Connecticut when Hurricane Gloria hit. It wasn't as bad as it was supposed to be, but I was actually in the place where the eye of the storm came over, part of it. And it was amazing to go from over 100-mile-an-hour winds to all of a sudden really, you know, just dies down to nothing. There's blue skies. Then all of a sudden you get the 100-mile-an-hour winds again. But there's a sense in which Jesus had that sort of the peace in the eye of the storm there in the boat. And so the disciples woke Jesus up and he commanded the winds and waves to still down. I think the lesson in that is probably the lesson for those disciples is even though they didn't want to be in that storm, the rest of their life, they had to look back in that moment, and just like they said then, who is this that even the winds and waves obey? Every time they faced a trial or difficulty, a moment of adversity and challenge, they had to look back in that moment and remember that Jesus calmed the winds and the waves, and that Jesus is Lord of all that, and to find that peace. And I think it's true when you and I face a challenge or a difficulty and we see God's answer in a way that only God could come and answer that, that we grow in faith and we have a kind of trust and simple faith that when we face the next storm, that we learn to grow in faith and know that God will be there just like he was in the last storm. I don't know where you are in all of life. Most of us at some point or another will face some storms in life. But remember what Jesus said in John 16:33. He said this, I have told you these things so that you will have peace. In this world, you will have trouble. But fear not. Take heart. I have overcome the world. It's a beautiful message. This morning, you're facing a challenge or difficulty. Trust God to see you through. Trust what's gotten you here. Faith in Christ. See it as an opportunity to grow and find Christ in a storm. Listen to these words about God is able. It says this from this poem. When you are the neediest, he is the most sufficient. When you are completely helpless, he is the most helpful. When you feel totally dependent, he is absolutely dependable. When you are the weakest, he is the most able. When you are most alone, he is ultimately present. When you feel you are least, he is the greatest. When you feel the most useless, he is preparing you. When it is dark, he is the light that you need. When you feel the least secure, he is the rock and fortress. When you feel most humble, he is most gracious. When you can't, he can. You know, it's not how able you and I are, but how able God is. I want to close with this story. The story is told of a young Cherokee youth, a young man, and it was the right for every Cherokee young man to go through this rite of passage to bringing them to adulthood. And they could never talk about it. But this young man decides it's the day for him to become a grown man. And so the rite is this, that he has to go into the wilderness and spend the night alone by himself. And so he goes out with his father. And the father has him sit on a tree stump. And the father blindfolds him. And the young man knows that there's all kinds of things in the wilderness. There's bears and wolves and coyotes, and so he's quite afraid. And so he has to sit there all night long blindfolded, and only when the sun's rays hit him in the morning is he allowed to take the blindfold off. And so the entire night he's so fearful sitting there in that stump alone, and he's worried about wolves and bears and coyotes, and he feels all alone. Then in the morning when the first rays of sunlight hit him, he takes off the blindfold. And only in that moment does he look next to him and see his father, who's been sitting with him all night long beside him. And it's a beautiful story, too, I think, of faith. You know, sometimes we think we're alone in the storm. But the truth is that our Lord Jesus Christ is right beside us. And even though we can't see him sometimes, we can know that he's been there. He's faced all the challenges and difficulties we could ever face in life. And trusting in Christ and faith in Christ and knowing that he has the power to see us through will help us grow in faith each and every chapter of our life. Will you join me in prayer? Gracious God, we're thankful for the way that you travel with us through all of life, through the hills and valleys, along the riverside and quiet streams, and through the summits of the mountain. We know that in every chapter of life, as we face trials and difficulty and challenge and adversity, that you're there present with us. Help us, Lord, to turn to you and to trust you to see us through. We know that your grace is sufficient for us, not only for salvation, but for the strength and grace to see it through each challenge and adversity of life. We pray that you'd strengthen us this day, give us courage to face every challenge and adversity, help us to grow in compassion and faith and trust in you, that we might minister to others and grow in love for you. We pray this to your power and to your glory. Amen.